Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Radio Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love Radio Show, sponsored by the Dee Dee Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. We believe that through the power of love, that nothing is impossible with love on your side. I am not TJ Jackson. I am Terrell Jackson, and I am here with...
the real host, Taj Jackson.
You want to host? You want to stay here?
Nope.
TJ's not here, so we have a very special show. This is the Platinum Edition. Now, TJ is in the East Coast, right, Taj?
Yep.
New York? With
yep.
Royal?
Yes.
So he's not here. So you guys are stuck with us. But you'll be all right. I hope this is working, because obviously I don't
You're
sit
rambling.
Here a lot, but if it's not, well, whatever. All right, Taj, I guess we'll start with the weeks. How was your week?
It was great. What did I do? Next?
Wait a minute, I feel like we didn't do... We're not supposed to do that yet.
No, we're not. You're throwing off
help.
Everything.
All right, you want to do the week first, and then we'll go back to it.
Gosh, I was thrown off, man. I don't even remember what we did this week. What did we do this week?
You just said it was great.
It was great.
So then why was it great?
It could be great without me remembering.
I guess so. You don't know what you did this week?
No, I'm getting ready for Halloween, though. I did buy an outfit for Halloween.
You did?
Yeah.
And you're not going to tell anyone what
no.
it is?
No.
That's all right.
But I'm happy with it.
All right. Now, is it... for the Halloween day, or is it just, are you going to have a couple outfits?
No, I'm doing one outfit this time.
One outfit?
Yeah. It's too much work.
It is.
Yeah.
Are you getting over that?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, what about you? Have you started?
For
Halloween, have you started the outfit?
We normally do like a family thing.
Yeah.
Brianna thinks she knows what we're going to be, but I don't think that's going to fly.
Okay.
But we'll see.
Okay.
I don't know. Depends. Maybe if it's for the kids and that's what they want to do, I'll do it. But I don't know. Because I'm not really into the person I got to be.
Yeah.
But whatever. All right. Let's go back to the show. What's the... Want to do the Twitter handles and all that?
Sure. Let's do the social media handles. The Twitter is at DDJ Foundation. Facebook is DEEDEE Jackson Foundation. Instagram is at DEEDEE Jackson Foundation. And the website is www.ddjf.org. And also, we have a podcast up now on iTunes,
yes.
Power Love. So it's please check it out. It's get some past episodes and feel free to comment, leave a review.
It's very true.
Yeah.
Also, we have a phone number. You guys can call in, contribute to the show. The number is 323-203-0815. Again, that's 323-203-0815. Feel free to call in, contribute, anything. Don't be shy, too. A lot of callers are shy and they get embarrassed. No need. It's just Taj. It's just
I'm harmless.
We're just chilling.
Yeah. I want to say something real quick, though, too. The reason I said I was great is because I'm always trying to, Terrell, you know this about me. I'm always trying to counter what the environment's like.
Mm-hmm.
And the environment isn't great right now in terms of just what the world's, in terms of
right.
Vegas and all that stuff. And I always try and awful. Counter that. And I always try and be even happier, even more, but it affects you and it affects everyone. And mm-hmm. we're going to talk about it a little, coming up. But
yeah.
I think for me, it's just the world. We keep saying every week what's going on with the world, and it's like, I don't want us to become numb either to all this in terms of like where it becomes the norm,
mm-hmm.
because it isn't the norm. And so we could talk about it in a little while,
we can talk about it now since you brought it up. It's just...
you want to let everyone know what happened?
Well, we're talking obviously about Vegas.
There's a mass shooting.
I think the count is at 59 right now, right? 59 dead?
I don't know.
It's just horrible. It's sad. The worst. They were at a concert.
Yeah, that's the worst in U.S. history for mass shootings.
And it's just, it really makes you wonder where we're going. You know, you don't feel safe anymore. You're going to a music concert, now you can't feel safe doing that, you know?
Yeah, I don't know what goes through people's heads like that in terms of to do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't fathom that. I know that we have to, as a nation, do something about, you know, I mean, he had a modified assault rifle, you know, basically. Like, we have to do something about those kind of things, too. I mean, I don't get too political, but I mean, sometimes enough is enough in terms of how much you have and whatever. And, you know, it's just, I think we're going backwards, unfortunately, because we shouldn't have to walk out of our house or an environment and feel scared that something's going to happen. And that's
where we're at
now. Where we're at. You know, there's like there's a mass shooting, which I guess they categorize as more than four people.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost every day here.
Yeah.
So that should tell you something. And I know that a lot of our listeners are from out of the country and they have strict gun laws or guns are illegal. And so they don't really understand what it's like to live in an environment where, you know, guns are more important than humans are in some way. You know, the rights of people carrying guns are more important than the right.
We're just in a scary time right now. And of course, like you said, it's different all over the world. But here in America, it's scary because you can walk out and someone can shoot you.
Yeah.
Just like that, you know, or do something crazy like they did in Vegas. And what can you do?
Well, I think it's for me that what's scary is it's the amount of people you can damage in one time. You know, when the Second Amendment was, you know, created, that you literally could only shoot one bullet per minute. You know, it was
really?
back in the day because they had to reload.
Oh,
you
know,
so it's like now it's literally 500 bullets per sec. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, you
I mean
know,
this happens at
you
schools.
Spray.
I mean, this happens at schools. It happens on, you know, a softball field. It's just it's happening so often now, and it's scary. It's sad. Our prayers, our love goes out to all the victims and families.
One victim is enough. You know, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Because it's like someone's life is never going to be the same again in terms of the family and the friends. So one is enough. And for it to be over 50, something has to be done. So, I mean, I think that's what we should say about it in terms of, you know, without getting too involved with it. But it just... maybe the listeners have comments on it because they live in different countries. Maybe because for me, I feel like if there were stricter gun laws, like you can't kill 50 people with a knife in less than a, you know, and he killed himself.
Yeah.
So it would have continued if he hadn't killed himself.
That's just not good.
So,
so if you want to call in and discuss that, feel free. Also, we lost Tom Petty.
Yes.
I know you're a big fan.
I am. You know, Tom Petty, for me, like, you know what? Don't come around here no more. Because I'm a big Alice in Wonderland fan. I don't know if I could be admitting that, but his music video for that, that's how I got introduced to him.
Are you serious?
Yes, because the music video is Alice in Wonderland. Like, you know, and so he's the Mad Hatter. And that's how I actually learned about Tom Petty back in the day, was when that video came. I'm like, I like this guy. And, you know, because it's like, but for me, I don't know. I mean, also, I think what was really scary about the scenario was that people, he was pronounced dead before he was dead. You know, like people were so quick to get the breaking news that he was still alive when people pronounced him dead. He was fighting for his life, and everyone started doing condolences because there was real news outlets announcing him dead.
That you trust.
And he later did die, but that's the thing. Like, we have to be careful with our news and our rush to, you know, to get it out there quick.
Be first.
Yeah.
Free Falling. That's my favorite.
That's your,
I love that. Well, the video, too.
Yeah.
Because he's going right down Ventura Boulevard.
Yeah.
And you basically see Tower. Well, it's not there anymore, but I felt a connection with that right away because that's right here in our backyard. But very sad, very talented, great music. Tom Petty.
He's a legend, man. He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He, you know, I think we talked about music and the influence it has on people's lives. And you might not be a Tom Petty fan, but it affected a lot of people, and his music helped a lot of people. And so, you know, hats off to Tom Petty.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, we do have a topic for today, mm-hmm. believe it or not.
We're not just going to ramble.
Well, we're saving the topic also because TJ's not here.
Yes.
Because we wanted to talk about something. But we're saving it for when he comes back. And we thought about something we can do without him. And we decided, Taj, to go with the loss of age, and or loss of youth and aging, the whole aging process. And we wanted to know, and we're going to discuss the thoughts and the feelings, and we thought it would be interesting because obviously you don't have a family, I do, and just that whole shift of when you feel you're older and how you're dealing with getting older, what changes, how you're dealing with it. Are you looking forward to getting older? Some people are looking forward to it, some not so much, and just being caught up in the past, some people can get stuck. So that's our topic. We're discussing loss of youth, aging. What do you think, Taj?
Real quick though, because our listeners are trying to help us out here with the, you know, 3T Fans Brazil.
Okay.
Basically, sent a quote from Tom Petty. Basically,
and
here it is: "Music is probably the only real magic I have encountered in my life. There's not some track involved with it. It's pure and it's real. It moves, it heals, it communicates, and does all these incredible things." I need to read more often out loud.
Yeah, what the heck was that? Did your phone cut off? Did your screen go dark?
I wish it did. It really did. And the text is so big, so it's not that I can have. I just don't talk out loud and read at the same time.
That's nice.
Did you get the quote? Because I kind of
with the pause. It's good.
Okay, I kind of messed it up, but
no, you didn't.
He's basically saying music. You know, it's pure magic, and that it heals, it communicates, and we, you know, obviously believe that because that's why we do music therapy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So okay, now back to the top. I like when our listeners
and that
contribute.
Who was that?
That was 3T Fans Brazil.
Thank you, 3T Fans Brazil. So what are your thoughts? How are you feeling with change, getting older? What do you feel?
Terrell, I think the thing is for me, honestly, you know us. We grew up not caring about age, you know, with Uncle Michael. You know, he hated the word age kind of in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of for me, it's like I see everything around me changing, but I still feel like I'm probably 27 in my mind.
Really? I thought you were going to say 12.
No. Well, I'm mentally 12, but I mean, I can't look at myself and say I'm 12 now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but yeah, I think for me that's why I don't like really celebrate my birthday anymore, is because mm-hmm. it's like, it kind of is a reminder to me like, oh my gosh, like someone asks how old I am and I have to kind of remember. You know,
yeah.
Do you do that too?
To be honest, I kind of forgot.
Yeah, you forget.
I just don't pay attention to it anymore.
Yeah, like when you're younger, you count all your birthdays.
Yeah,
like,
celebration. I don't know what is it when you pass what 40?
Maybe
like mid 30s. I just don't. It doesn't matter.
But do you feel like you're over 40?
Do I feel like I'm over 40?
Like think about it.
Well,
what is a 40 year old?
That's so weird. Because when you're young, you're thinking 40s.
40s.
Old. And now that
when
I'm 40.
Young. Yeah. Now. Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Was there a big difference between 40 and 30 to you?
40 and 30?
Yeah. Besides, don't go off your kids and
okay,
all that
so
stuff.
Here's
don't go off a family.
Here's my contribution to all this.
Yeah.
I think with aging, the hardest thing isn't, obviously everyone changes and they get older. I think the hardest thing, and I'm sorry because people are calling, but I'll get to them in a second. I just want to get this point in. The hardest thing is I feel everything around you changes. And what I mean by that is, I was thinking about this earlier, 10-15 years ago, K-9.
Mm-hmm.
We had K-9 baseball. We would play every Sunday.
Yeah,
you know, I would at least. During the week, I'd play basketball with my friends, you know, at the gym or the park. You know, we were just very active and we were doing those things. And I thought about that today. It's like now there's no K-9 baseball, not because we can't play, because mm-hmm. I think if we did play, we'd still be competitive.
Yeah, we would.
I don't want to say we'd win, but I think we would.
We would.
But we can't do that anymore. Everybody has families,
yeah.
And everyone's busy, or it's work, or we're just torn apart in so many different directions that you're not able to do those things anymore. Just getting the guys together for one day is difficult, mm-hmm. you know? So that happens. One of my best friends, he's now in Texas mm-hmm. for work. So that was somebody that I played basketball with all the time. TJ, I played basketball with all the time, but he's constantly busy and he doesn't live around the corner anymore. So everybody grows and gets their own thing, their own family, their own job, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And it takes you away. That was kind of, sorry for the blah, blah, blah. But it just breaks everything up. And you're not how you used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So when people say, like, you know, like for weight, losing weight, it's like they say your metabolism slows down and this and that. I believe that, but I don't think that's the real reason. I think the real reason is the stress, the pressures of life, and you're just not able to do the things that you were able to do back then. Not because you're not physically able to do them. It's just things happen, yeah. You know? All right, let's take a first phone call.
Hold on. We got to do a disclaimer real quick. I'll do this one. Here's our disclaimer. We are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives, have been impacted by it, and have learned from it. And we want to share our opinions in an attempt to help you overcome what you are going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and find it. Don't just rely on us. That was actually better because I read it.
What's wrong
early.
Are you nervous,
Tara? I don't like reading.
I don't like reading
either. Out loud too. Especially.
I mean, I like reading. I just don't like reading in front of people
for audio.
I would never raise my hand. All right, let's take this phone call. Here we go.
Let's do it.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Taj. You are an amazing person.
I always forget when Tara answered the phone. He don't say power of love.
No, he doesn't. He's not professional.
Well, what am I supposed to say?
Welcome to the power of love.
Oh, welcome to the power of love. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I didn't know that. Does CJ do that? I didn't know that. Well, who is on the phone? Who is this?
Meredith. I haven't called you guys in a long time.
Right. How are you doing, Meredith?
So, I'm doing great. I was just calling. First, I wanted to comment on the thing with the Vegas, and I can't remember if it was Tara or Taj, which one of you said how people are fearful, and it is interesting you would say that, because we're going to a concert, which happened to be somebody you know this weekend. We're flying in to go to a concert, and that was my daughters have never been to a concert, and that was the first thing my youngest daughter said. She was like, oh, we're going to a concert. Is there going to be shooting? And I had to let her know, you can't be afraid, because that's what everyone wants. These type of people want. They want you to be afraid. They want you to be scared and not be able to go out. So I think me personally, it's important to teach my kids that we got to keep living. Yes, we got to be watchful, but we got to keep living. We can't live in a bubble, because otherwise we're only hurting ourselves. We're not being free to enjoy life for ourselves. That's part of the reason why I'm taking them to the concert. And secondly, on your subject about getting older, yes, I'm in my mid-40s, and I don't know. I appreciate that I'm able to get older, because I have friends who didn't get older, mm-hmm. so I'm thankful for that. But I also sometimes, you know, like you guys were talking about baseball and basketball and all that, I'm a dancer. And it's like my mind tells me I can still do the same thing I did in my 20s. But then after that arthritis started acting up, then I remember I can't do that same stuff. But I don't know. I don't get depressed about it. But, you know, I just think it's a part of life. And I'm thankful for each year that I get to see another year. So that's the way I look at it. So,
right.
You seem like a very optimistic person, Meredith, in terms of, like, you know, just in terms of every your answers. I really like them, and that's what I was saying about that, because it is true, you can't control life. You know, as much as you try and control it, you know, there's always things that change around you, And so you just have to be the best that you can be and live the best way you can live. So I like that. I like both of those answers. So,
yeah, that's good.
Well, thank you. It was good talking to you guys again, and have fun on the show.
Thank you so much.
I have one more question about the dancing thing. When did you start realizing that your dancing was not going to be what it was like? Because dancing is like, it takes a toll on your body. It's one of the most rigorous things to do. So when did you realize?
Well, unfortunately, I think I was 31. I know it was after, well, it was 29 after I had my daughter. I was thrown from a car.
So that
stopped a little. But in my 30s, I started gaining a lot of weight, mm-hmm. and I just sort of gave up. I think that was my more depressing years in my 30s, mm-hmm. and I just felt like, hey, you got the new generation coming along, you know, they're doing different things, and I sort of gave up. But once I turned, like, 41, I started doing a little more. I started saying, hey, I can do some of these things, and I started doing them again. I just realized you don't have as much energy mm-hmm. like you have in your 20s, but my daughter, even my teenage daughter, she knows I can keep up with a teenager as far as all the new moves. It's just I'm going to have to sit out after a few minutes.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, but that's the only thing I could think of. So,
oh, cool.
But yeah.
All right.
Well, it was great talking to you guys.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Meredith. You have a good
one. Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Good.
We have a Twitter question. Jackson Lover, how do your children react to what happened, and how do you deal with this as a parent in terms of like a mass shooting like Vegas? Did they even mention them?
Because I wasn't at home yesterday. I was at the house.
Okay,
I mean I wasn't at the because we're staying somewhere else.
Yeah,
I was at the studio.
I know what you meant. That they don't. They don't. They're like what.
But you know what? It's I'm pretty sure they know about it.
Now that
I'm sure
everyone's talking.
But it's just scary. Like even for me when I was younger, it wasn't even a shooting, it was just a riot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's one of the reasons why I have a fear of being in the center of a big crowd. I mm-hmm. always like staying on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I go somewhere, I'm always looking for my exit.
Yeah.
Always. I'm always looking at how I'm going to get out of this situation, if there is a situation.
Hmm.
But it's even worse now.
Yeah.
You know, you can't, and I understand Meredith's point of not allowing it to affect you, but it's so difficult because that's our world. That's what we're dealing with right now, you know? We have another caller.
Yes.
Let's see who's on the line.
But it's even worse now.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
You know, you can't.
Hello?
Hello?
Who is this? Oh, am I supposed to say welcome?
I'm Jill from the Netherlands.
All right.
How are you doing?
Yeah, fine. I'm here with my girls, and she was like, is Tara answering the phone, Mom? So I want to call.
I am.
So that's why we're calling.
Elida
wants to talk to you guys.
Okay, great.
I'm sorry,
we didn't get your name, though.
Elida, my daughter, right. Elida. Tara, you met her at the airport.
Yeah. Okay. Hello?
Yeah, so she said, Mom, I want him to talk with me, so I'm going to give her.
Okay.
Hello, Carol.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, and you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing today?
Good. I miss you.
Oh, sweet. I miss you, so too.
How old are you?
11.
Oh, 11.
Well,
wow. Well, thank you for calling in. Yeah, we're live on the radio right now. So, you want to say something?
Yeah, I'm listening.
You're listening.
You listen every week?
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Well, Elida, thank you for calling.
Okay.
I'm gonna get to another caller so we can continue our show. But it was good to hear your voice.
You be good. We love you.
Okay, take care.
See you soon. Bye.
Bye. She's sweet.
Well, and I love that name. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Okay.
She's a sweet. Sorry.
You know how to man that?
Taj, it's like there's calls coming up on the screen.
Carol's scratching
here we go.
His head.
Well, there's
as
like
we're,
four
as
things coming up on
here.
My screen. Here we go. All right. Hello. Who is this?
Yes, hello.
How's it going?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm good. Who is this?
Oh, this is Michael from New York City.
Oh, hey, Michael.
Michael,
how's
how are you
doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Thank you.
What do you have for us, Michael? How's it?
Yeah, well, first I wanted to mention about what happened with Vegas.
Yes, of course.
What I don't understand is why would people have guns when they don't need it? Like, I understand police and soldiers, but regular everyday people, I just don't understand why they would want to carry a gun.
That's a thing. I think, some people feel they're cool, you know, and they like the way they look, and they don't feel it's dangerous because that's not what would go through their mind, you know? And then there's others that would argue and say, I do need it because look at our world. If someone were to open my door with
I want
guns,
to protect my family.
How do I protect my family? You know, so...
Right.
It's a catch because even the person that doesn't want to carry a gun, they'll probably think about carrying a gun because they need to protect their family.
Yeah.
And then they have a gun, and then it just brings a whole bunch of things into the equation. Now you got to worry about safety.
Yeah.
And it's a hard one.
Yeah.
It's really
right, exactly. Cuz like from what I heard that Vegas doesn't have gun laws, so anybody could have a gun.
Mm-hmm. The Vegas laws are very loose with gun control. I think you can shoot almost any gun in Vegas. I know that was one of the things, like when you're driving up, you can see the
gun
billboards up there. So it's hard because I feel like, you know, there's certain people that they're just, you know, they want to do harm sometimes. And when you the more powerful the weapon, the easier it is to do more damage. And that was the thing with this Vegas thing. I mean, I personally would never have a gun at my home just because of the safety thing. Yeah, I'd be
right. Exactly.
You know, and that's the thing. I mean, I do have a mean bat.
Oh yeah. Well, you know? There you go.
You know, but I don't have a gun just because I'd be worried about some it getting in the wrong hands and someone hurting themselves by accident. You know. But
right.
I don't know. I you know what it is too? I mean, I think that our society, if you really look at the movies and the TV, we really glorify guns a lot in this society, you know, which is different than other, you know, cultures and other society. We really glorify guns. And that's the thing too, is that we make it, as Terrell said, seem cool to carry a gun or to and I think that's the thing when people grow up watching that and you see guns and you see, oh, this person has a gun, this person's taking out all these people, but he's quote unquote a good guy. People are like, oh, I want that gun. But I don't think it differentiates. But I don't know.
Right. I'm sorry. Because I remember when the first RoboCop movie came out.
Yeah.
I was living in California at the time. And there was a shooting in a movie theater.
Oh, yeah.
A kid.
Yeah.
I went in with a machine gun. And when the police questioned him, he said they did it because RoboCop did it.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid, my mother used to say, whatever I see on the movies or TV, it's fake. Because the actor gets up, makes another movie or TV show, and, you know, continues life. But in real life, when somebody gets shot, they don't get up.
No, exactly. And that's amazing because you said RoboCop was a long time ago. And that's the thing. Like, you would think that long ago something would have been done. And we're still not doing what we need to be done to prevent all this. And that's the thing that bothers me more than anything is, you know, people are dying because of guns. And at an alarming rate. And that for me is, you know, you have to drive, you have to have a license, you know, you have to go through all these tests and whatever, but it's like with guns, yes, there's supposed to be gun laws and background checks and all that, but it seems so easy to bypass a lot of that stuff. And a lot of those people do, and certain states make it really easy. So it's just, you know, we have to be very careful.
Right, exactly. And I think they really need to do more of a deeper background check and psychological tests and all that.
And why do you need 14 guns or this, you know, whatever the gun thing? I mean, he had 14, I think, guns with him. You know, that's just,
I don't like guns.
No.
You know, I mean, there's certain people that do. I don't like them just because I know what they're capable of doing.
Yeah.
It's sad. It's scary.
We have family members that
are gun owners.
So, but I
see both sides. Sadly, I see both sides because there is the I need to protect myself. You know, because the way of the world is, some people feel they need to have some sort of protection. You know.
Right, exactly.
But either way, I'm a huge
James Bond addict, and I won't go and buy a gun just to say Bond has a gun. And he has the
right. That's a different thing.
But you seem like a very smart person, Michael, or logical. So I think that's the danger. A lot of the people that are doing these things, they're mentally unstable, or they're just something's happened in their life that they feel like I'm gonna do some damage now. You know,
Yeah, it's a sad world out there.
Yep.
Yeah, it's very dangerous and sad. You're right.
Well, thank you, Michael. Thank you for the call. Right.
Thank you for calling in, Michael.
Yeah. Call again.
And I also wanted to say that because of my wife, I listen to you constantly, and we both love you.
Thanks, awesome. Man. Please call again, Michael.
And tell her we say hello.
Yes.
Okay, I certainly shall. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care, buddy.
You too. Thanks.
All right, bye. You gotta admit, I'm doing pretty good by not hanging up on the people.
Yeah, that's
last time I was doing this, I was hanging up on them.
Yeah, that's a good call.
But thanks for calling, Mike.
Yeah.
Let's take another caller.
Okay.
Here we go. Hello, who's this?
This is Maisha.
Maisha. How's it going?
How are you guys doing?
We are okay. How are you?
Are you guys really okay? Or are you just saying that?
We're all right.
I mean, just this, the world's affecting, you know, it seems like there's one tragedy after another, but at the same time, this show's about uplifting people.
Yeah. It's
right.
It's
right.
Hard.
I understand.
And you know,
I'm trying to stay positive too.
Yeah. It's difficult because it just takes over everything and it does put a coat of ugliness on your day. But it's like I think it was Meredith. I don't know who said it actually, but you got to keep moving forward. And not be scared and just, you know, pray and be loving.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that really concerned me because about a month ago, my oldest just went to her first concert, and I really was leery about having her go. She went to a Kendrick Lamar concert.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I told her she was not going unless she went with an adult. So, you know, her dad volunteered to go with her, and... But that I just don't feel comfortable about concert scenes nowadays. Yeah. I mean, I used to go to them all the time when I was younger, but it's a totally different scene now.
How was the concert, by the way? How, what did she say?
She loved it.
Yeah,
she loved it.
She
videotaped
artist.
The whole thing. Yeah, yeah, I could hear her screaming in the background. She loved it. And I want her to be able to live her life. I don't want her to be in fear.
Yeah.
You know, she's pretty much a young adult right now. She's 16, so I want her to be able to live and not be afraid to go out and enjoy life.
Yeah.
And especially music.
Yeah, and you were just saying that because of music in general, concerts in general, not because of Kendrick or, you know, because
I'm a mama bear and I just want to protect my kids.
Yeah, because his music's
and I can't be there, so, you know, I just want to, you know, make sure they're okay. And it was her first concert and...
Yeah, it's...
So, but she enjoyed herself.
We definitely live in a different time. And it's scary just, you know, me thinking about my children growing up. It's sad. I mean, there were times where we would go to movies when we were younger with friends and get dropped off. And nowadays, it's scary. There's so much that...
I know.
There's just so too much going on. I mean, with social media...
And we didn't think about things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just... It's a lot. And you're... you know, you have a right to be concerned. You know what I mean? And our world is just getting out of control.
I think it's that. And I also think that back then people watched over each other more. And I really feel like it's not that anymore. It's kind of an every person for themselves kind of mentality. And I think that's the problem too, is that there was, you know, whether it was started from the teachers, you know, you would get in trouble if you, you know, the teacher mm-hmm. would tell your parents. I mean, they still do now, but it was like now teachers are scared because they could get fired for discipline, not discipline, but just getting upset at because the kid comes back to the parent, complains, and the parent goes. And so it's like, that's the problem too, is that, you know, back then you would get in trouble if, you know, if mom heard that you were bad at school or whatever, you were in trouble. It wasn't a matter of, you know, the mom saying, oh, what teacher is it? Let me go call the school and tell them never to discipline my child in front of people. And that's the difference.
No, no.
Yeah.
That wouldn't happen. You get the talk. I got the talk before I went to school. Yeah. I always got the talk. So.
Yeah. And that plays with the
way I did not act up like that, no. Because I didn't want to get in trouble at home. So.
But that's, that's why I think a lot of what we are is, you know, in terms of we're scared to intervene. You know, they do all those... all those like kind of what would you do kind of shows and stuff like that. And people walk by now more often than they used to, you know, because they don't want to intervene. They don't want to
get into it.
They don't want to get
into
it.
It ends up on them.
Yeah.
And it's sad. But there's certain people that just can't let that fly, you know, and I get it. But there's definitely there's teachers that feel that way, that they don't want to, you know, deal with the parents. So they just let it go. Which is sad because it doesn't help the child out.
Yeah. You had a question?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I wanted to know, how do you guys think that we can affect change as individuals to make our environment better? Because that's what I was thinking about. I was like, okay, what can I do as an individual? Because I can't control anybody else.
No.
But what can I do as an individual to make the world better? Because I can't control anybody else, of course, but I can control myself. But what do you guys think about that?
I think about this a lot. I think for me... this is Taj talking, of course. I think for me, I try and just project happiness and project love to people. And if I can help or just brighten someone's day up, I feel like it kind of their day becomes better than they kind of brighten someone else's day. You know, so I kind of do it one person at a time in terms of it. What I love about music is, you know, one of the reasons that I, you know, do music is because you can affect more people in a broad sense as well. So I think for me, it goes both ways. As a personal, be loving and be nice and courteous, or just try and make someone smile, as someone said last week in terms of that. I think that's the thing for me. Like that if enough people did that in the world, there'd be a shift. But everyone's threatened, everyone's mean, everyone's out for themselves, you know. I shouldn't say everyone, I'm generalizing, but it really is.
It feels like that.
Like you're kind of shocked if someone, you know, smiles at you and just says, how are you? You're like,
yes.
You're like,
I think the thing
isn't that
is,
weird?
I think the thing is now we have our guards up. Instead of having them down, you're almost not trusting the person next to you. Mm-hmm. You're almost feeling like they're an enemy before you feel like they're a friend.
Yeah.
You know? And there's a lot of fear in the world. And because of that, You're walking around with your eyes open.
Defensive. You're out.
Head on the swivel, we always say. Yeah. You know what I mean? You're defensive. And so what can we do? I think as much as we all like to say, you know, don't fear anything, it's just reality. There's things that are going on in the world where it's difficult. You know, yes, don't talk to strangers, this, that. And there's so many things now that are out there that you see on the news that you have to worry about that come into play now. But the best you can do is just be loving and being kind to others. And I feel it rubs off, you know, it's contagious. Yeah. And just one by one, hopefully it just spreads. But it's hard.
I think we have to be more empathetic as just a world anyway. I mean, it's almost to the point where if it's not in your backyard, you don't care about it. And that's not me, but I'm just saying that's what it seems like.
But you always, I understand that because it almost feels like everyone's out to get you because everybody's always concerned about themselves.
No, I'm saying like, let's say, heaven forbid, there's a plane crash.
Mm-hmm.
Here we would hear there's a plane crash and so many Americans died, like 50 Americans died. You know what I mean? You would hear that. It's like, no, just say there's a plane crash and X amount of people died. Like there's no... there's no emphasis on America. It's not because they're American, it makes it even more, you know, X amount of people. And that's the thing. It's like we put emphasis on it. And just like Puerto Rico, it's like, oh, you know, it's not as important as Florida or as Texas. Like
Katrina.
Yeah. And it's like, no, it's just as important because they're going through a tragedy right now and they need our help.
Right.
And they are Americans, you know. So it's like that kind of aspect. It's not in our backyard for se.
Do you think we're getting better?
No.
Do I?
Oh. Yeah, you too, Maisha.
Do I think we're getting better?
Yeah, do you think we're headed in the right direction?
No. And you know what? I just like on my job, I think when you have leadership that's not necessarily positive, and everybody's going to, you know, a lot of people are following that.
It's a divisive.
So, you know, I'm concerned about the leadership of the country, and I can see it going in a downward spiral because of the leadership.
Yeah, it's a divisive. It was
That's just my take on it.
It was built on a divisive platform, and whenever something's divisive, it's not going to bring people together. I mean, that's the
it's going to fall.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
Divided, you fall.
Mm-hmm. And no matter what you think about politics or whatever, if that's where a lot of people are getting their leadership, or that's where they're getting their
influence.
Yeah, thank you. I think that's the problem. It's from the top down.
Yeah.
Well, before I go, I just wanted to say to everyone to just not necessarily to be fearful, but just to be aware of your surroundings. I tell my kids this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Just be aware of your surroundings. That's not necessarily, you know, looking behind your back, but just be observant of things and, you know, be safe out there.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very true. Well, thank you so much for your call, Maisha.
Yeah.
You're welcome. You know, I love you guys dearly. Be safe.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you. Thank you for the call.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I like it. No, I'm not hanging up on anyone.
You've been very good, actually.
I'm trying, Taj. I'm getting better.
It's
difficult because you can't go to the park anymore and just play. You have to watch. You know what I mean? You have to watch everything.
Yeah.
There's a risk. I mean, there was always a risk of maybe someone kidnapping your child.
Yeah.
But now it's like, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
You know, it really is. You have to keep it happens at the grocery market.
Mm-hmm.
Someone just walked up and snatched a child right there.
Yeah.
You know, it just, anywhere you go, and it's hard not to be in fear of that because it's always in the back of your mind, you know?
Yeah.
I love how we kind of just went away from the topic, but that's fine. The topic was
our age.
I did some research on this.
It kind of goes together.
It ties in.
I mean,
it's the difference. It's part of change. It's part of growing in our youth. Like back then, I was thinking, I forget the caller, which one it was, but who I think it was Maisha maybe, but I was talking about going to the movies. That's something that, you know, people would do back then easily and not so much right now. You know, I think they were like 11, 12-year-olds, drop them off. They go to the movies. You pick them up, you know, and no problem. Nowadays, I don't know if you can do that.
Yeah.
You just can't.
Yeah. It really. Well, let me ask you a question. And I'm not going to don't mention the field or whatever. Like playing baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Is there still that community thing? I know you have friends there. Yeah, like in terms of, remember how we'd hang out there for the
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, and parents
you
knew.
You know what? And that's the thing, Taj. It's not the same.
Yeah.
It's not the same.
I knew the answer.
Even growing up, it's like, I don't know. Maybe it's just with my kids. I don't know. But even growing up, like, you know how we'd have sleepovers with Ryan and Louie and Patrick? Everybody would sleep over. We'd go over their house during the week. We'd sleep over friends. I don't see that with my kids.
Yeah.
And I get it. I understand. There's just, you know, you don't trust parents because you hear so much of this craziness going on. You know, you're scared.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know who it's going to be. You don't pray, obviously, that one of your friends, you know, that they can get molested or something bad can happen. But no one trusts anybody anymore.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to stay at our house and no, you know what I mean? It's like, so there's no, it's horrible.
That
it
is horrible.
Really is. But that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's like you go on play dates and it's like, you see both, you know, it's like one one parent doesn't want to leave them with the other parent, mm-hmm. so the, both of the parents are at the play date.
Yeah.
You know, because it's scary. And it's not just the parent, just someone watching your kid.
Yeah.
Because are they gonna really look around? And, you know, obviously you have, you know, over time you start to get comfortable with families and you start to know that you can leave them with them. But that's very, you know, it's very hard to find.
Yeah.
You know? So, well, I did do some research on our change thing. And I do have, well, should I save it? I feel like we just...
I think we should save it and maybe we'll combine it for it. Next week.
I guess we'll save it.
Yeah.
I guess we'll save it. But going back to Vegas, that's one of the reasons why I don't like going into big crowds. You know, things like that happen, and it can happen anywhere at any given time. And you're.
But it doesn't. It can happen without big crowds too. That's the thing.
It can.
You know, that's it. I mean, it's just because there was a lot of people, and it. I mean.
It's just scary because as performers, you go to these events and
you participate.
And, you know, I saw the video. I forget the performer's name, but he just, you know, what do you do?
Yeah.
And then for him, it's hard to get back on stage because now
that's a memory.
It's a memory. So every time you're looking out in that crowd, you have that thought, and then you can start feeling like you're hearing things. You know, it's awful all the way around. And I don't know how we're going to get better with this.
Let me ask you a question because, you know, we both love Vegas.
I already thought about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ask your questions.
No,
I can read your mind. But
no, are you hesitant to go to Vegas or no?
Am I hesitant?
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously when something like that happens, you don't want to. Yeah, I am because there's number one, there's a lot of copycats out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some crazy sick people out in the world, and it's sad because that's one of the places I love because, you know, I like City Lights.
Vegas is,
but it I'm sure it's gonna take a hit.
We would go to Vegas to write every
that
was our place to escape.
But
and
how
write.
could you be feel safe there? And the crazy thing, there's so many cameras. How can you feel safe knowing that something like that just happened?
Yeah.
You know, and it can happen anywhere.
It really can happen anywhere.
It really can. So just even walking through the casino, it can happen. So you being in that city is going to bring back that memory. It's just going to be uncomfortable, I would think.
Yeah.
But of course, you're going to have to move forward and keep living, you know. But that's an unfortunate thing.
Well, I think just to go back to everything, I think that with all this mass shootings and mass tragedies and stuff like that, that we just have to be more empathetic and really, I would say, watch out for each other and watch over each other. Not only your immediate family, but people just in general. I don't have the name and stuff. I didn't do that. But there is the story about the baseball player that shielded...
Well, I saw that.
You saw that?
I didn't have the name.
That he, a complete stranger, he shielded...
several people, right?
Several people, like... and the lady found him on social media and thanked him and said that, you don't even know who I am, but you shielded me, and then you stayed with me because afterwards to make sure that me and my friends were okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the thing that gives me hope with humanity still,
mm-hmm.
is people like that. Not even the shielding part, but the staying after to make sure, you know, because the sick, twisted part of my brain was like, oh, he's probably trying to hit on her. But he did it out of love and care, you know, because he didn't want anything in return, but just to make sure she was okay. And that, for me, makes me feel, okay, that's exactly how I probably would have operated. And I feel like there's hope for people. There's people out there like that. And that's what should be reported. Mm-hmm. You know, I shouldn't have to go look for that, you know, as well.
We live in a crazy world, because I'm thinking about, there was obviously people there that were, the second it happened, they pulled their phones out and they start filming everything.
Yeah.
And for me, I don't even think I don't know. I wasn't there, but
you wouldn't have filmed.
I wouldn't think
that wouldn't
of
have
that.
Been your
that
first.
That wouldn't have been my first,
no.
You know?
But you weren't
unless
wired
you're
that
trying
way.
To capture something for to help the police or, you know what I mean?
You're not wired
like,
that way.
But some people just like, let me capture this and post it on social media.
And document it.
It's, I don't know. It's such a crazy thing. And I don't know.
We should end with positivity since this is a positive show. I mean, I think that for anything that we do in life, it's you do make an impact and you make an influence on people. And so you have to always care about people. And we need more love in this world. And, you know, prayers to Vegas, prayers to Puerto Rico, Florida.
We just got to do better.
Texas.
Our world's got to do better.
And all over the world.
That's our show. We kind of changed the topic, but that's okay.
We remixed it.
We'll be back next week, same time, same day. Anything else, Taj?
No. I just, you know, thanks for the tweets and or the...
Yeah. The calls.
The calls and the Twitter
comments. Twitter comments. All right, guys. We'll see you next week. Take care.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.